Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. For the last few months, our astronomy contributor has talked with us about how the things in the night sky came to be. But as the weather has warmed up, we thought it was time to tell maybe a simpler story.
It's the time of year that's really pretty comfortable to just go out and look up into the night sky. And Gene is here to talk about just what we can see as May changes over into June. Great to see you again, Gene.
Hello, Bonnie.
And here we are at the end of May, and it's perfect time to go out and look at the sky.
Yes.
So what is visible now, and what should we be looking for once we get out of sort of Milwaukee and that ambient light?
Well, even if we're in Milwaukee, I think it's useful to kind of have a couple of touchstones. And I think at this point we would have to argue that must be the Big Dipper.
Yeah, I think so. I remember learning the Big Dipper when I was just very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it helps you find kind of your way. So I think the Big Dipper is a great one. And because of the time of year, it's way up high in the early evening, whereas earlier in the winter, then the Big Dipper is very low in the sky, so it can be hard to see. So the way I describe the Big Dipper is a shopping cart with a long, curvy handle. And if you imagine the shopping cart, think about the front of the cart. Those are two stars that we call the pointer stars. And if you put two fingers at arm's length between the pointer stars and you move them five times, then you hit the North Star.
Oh, that's how you find the North Star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the North Star is also known, of course, as Polaris. Not only does the North Star show us where north is along the horizon, but it also shows us our latitude. So the angle between the North Star and the north point in the horizon is equal to your latitude.
So that's how they navigated
mm-hmm.
with it.
Very useful for navigation,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Because that means that if you want to go north, then you move so that the North Star is drifting toward the zenith overhead. And if you want to go south, you move so that the North Star is heading toward the horizon.
Okay.
So the other nice thing about the North Star that's convenient is that it's halfway between the middle of the Big Dipper and Queen Cassiopeia. Now, Queen Cassiopeia had her season. She is way up high late in fall and in the early winter. Sadly for her, I guess, she's scraping now the horizon in the early evening. She looks like an M or a W. And I don't think enough people know Cassiopeia because she's always visible at our latitude. My hope would be that everybody would know both the Big Dipper and Queen Cassiopeia. They both move around the North Star.
Okay. You look one way and you get...
You get both of them. So if you look in the north,
mm-hmm.
you see both of them move counterclockwise around the North Star over the course of the evening and over the course of the year too. But so you get to see that. And that's useful because it kind of reminds you that these two constellations are always visible at our latitude. They might be high or low or whatever they are, but they're always visible. So they're called circumpolar. They go around the pole.
Okay.
All right. Are you with me?
I am. So we've got the north part taken care of. What else is out there?
Now we're going to use the Big Dipper as an anchor to find two seasonal things. So these are things that rise and set that we only see certain times of the year. If you follow now, not the pointer stars at the front of the shopping carts, but the tail of the shopping cart, if you will. It's a nice long curve, and if you follow the curve, you can arc to Arcturus.
Okay. I've heard that before, and we've said that before.
I'm sure I've said this
yep.
before. But it's a useful mnemonic because it leads you to two bright stars. Arc to Arcturus takes you to Arcturus, a really bright star. It's flashy and gorgeous. But then you keep going, and you spy Spica. Spica is the brightest star in Virgo.
So we've found another constellation.
That's right.
Okay.
So you get two for free, basically, because they're pretty easy names to remember. Arc to Arcturus and spy Spica. So let's just say that Arcturus is part of a constellation that's spelt B-O-O-T-E-S. And you might think that's booties, but it is, in fact, Bootes.
Bootes. It sounds Dutch.
It's Greek.
Or is
it's
it
from
Greek?
The Greek
okay.
Yeah, it's from the Greek word vootis, which means the leader of the cows. So this bright star Arcturus has a beautiful story, can I tell you?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Arcturus was used in a beautiful way to connect the past and the future, if you will. So in 1933, the World Fair was in Chicago. And Chicago wanted some, the organizers wanted somehow to connect the fact that the World Fair was taking place right then, but they also had it 40 years prior to. And they came up with this beautiful idea. They observed Arcturus with a telescope, and they realized that the light that came from Arcturus in 1933 left Arcturus when they had the World Fair before.
Oh, how cool.
Even better, they attached on the telescope a newfangled thing at the time called a photodiode, which basically takes light and transforms it into electricity, and they use that to turn on the power for the whole fair.
How very cool.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
I do like that very much.
So that's Arcturus' story, and for those of us who are fans of Harry Potter, I'll just say that Arcturus is Sirius's brother. So also, Arcturus is a bright star. Sirius, of course, is the brightest star in the sky, which we won't be able to see at the end of May.
When do we see that one?
That's a winter star in a winter constellation. And you might get to see it at the beginning of spring in the early evening, but by now it's gone. And good riddance, say I. Because we're all done with Orion. We're all done with winter constellations. We're now very ready for a nice—
Let's welcome the summer.
Yes. We're all ready for that. So Spica is the brightest star in Virgo, and Virgo looks very much like a squished box. She's supposed to be a young woman. I don't think you can see a young woman. I imagine her as a rectangle, some package that arrived in the mail that got a little busted. So one of its corners has been kicked in, and you're left with something that looks a lot like a trapezium. So that's the shape I like to think of as a squished box. And that is the constellation of Virgo, another lovely constellation of spring. I should, of course, point out Leo, which is, I think, the stereotypical spring constellation. Looks like a backward question mark, quite bright. And it has, the dot of the question mark is a bright star called Regulus.
And, of course, that's been used in all kinds of science fiction, the mm-hmm. name Regulus, yes, mm-hmm. or Regula or something.
Yeah. So those are things worth looking for. Gemini are considered technically a winter constellation, but because they come so high overhead to us, we get to see them until the end of this month. In the West, you might not see the pattern per se. You have to go to the country to see that. But even in the city, you will see two bright stars very close to each other, similar in brightness, as you would expect twins, along the western horizon. Look for Castor and Pollux.
And so for people who are interested, they can go to the your website and find star charts and that sort of thing?
They can. But I would say look, of course, for charts, but also look up.
Just go.
Yeah. Just go and check it out.
Jean, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jean Creighton is our regular astronomy contributor. She's the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee.